Today we are in Mark chapter 1, verses 21 through 45, and Jared did me a great service in staying in the book of Mark while he was here visiting. And remember from our first week, I'm going to do a little review here. Our first week in chapter 1, I said that there would be three facts about Jesus that would be revealed. Jesus is who he says he is, and because he is who he says he is authoritative, he has the authority. He has authority, and he teaches with authority. And he shows his sympathy to the sick and unwell. And all this is in chapter 1. And he shows the same sympathy to us. Last week, Jared discussed following Jesus. Jesus said, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." I think we've all heard that one before. And Jared made the point that even through our uncertainty, we should follow Jesus. He said that Jesus' authority is greater than our autonomy. Autonomy is not a word that I use often. So another way of saying this is that Jesus' plan for us is far greater than any plan that we could conjure up for ourselves. So follow him. Even when you are uncertain, follow him. Even when you have doubts, follow him. Even when it barely makes sense, follow him. Even when you aren't seeing fruit, follow him. And know that God is God and you are not, and he has a plan for you in your following of him. So follow him. Let's pray this morning. Heavenly Father, I am grateful for this place. I am grateful for you placing me in this place. And I'm grateful for the laughter. And I'm grateful for the fear of you. Because fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And I just want to lift up anybody here that's suffering this morning. That's going through something. That's got anxieties about things. It's got worry, unnecessary worry about things, because we know that you are in control of our lives, and you are good, and you have good in store for us. Though sometimes it might not seem like that based on our circumstances, based on our humanity, but you are good, and your promises for us are good. So we love you, and I hope this morning that we're able to encounter you through this message. And I pray all of these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So, chapter 1, verses 21 through 28. I've kind of got this broken up. 21 through 28. And they went into Capernaum, and immediately, that's our word, immediately, 41 times in this book, on the Sabbath, he entered the synagogue and was teaching. And they were astonished at his teaching, for he taught them as one who had authority and not as the scribes. And immediately there was in their synagogue a man with an unclean spirit, and he cried out, "What have you to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." But Jesus rebuked him, saying, "Be silent and come out of him." And the unclean spirit, convulsing him and crying out with a loud voice, came out of him. And they were all amazed, so that they questioned among themselves, saying, "What is this? A new teaching with authority?" I said that as a question, and it's not a question. It's an exclamation. "A new teaching with authority. He commands even the unclean spirits, and they obey him." And at once his fame spread everywhere throughout all the surrounding region of Galilee. And I have four thoughts today. Our first thought is Jesus has authority over demons, okay? Jesus exercises his authority in these verses, even to demons, and the demons obey him. And remember last week, Jesus told Simon and Andrew to drop what they were doing and follow him, and they did that. Well, why did they do that? Why did they immediately, is our word, why did they immediately follow him? Because Jesus has authority over men, Jesus has authority over demons, and he has authority over sickness. He has authority over everything, okay? Jesus has authority. Let's read on and see how Jesus exercises his authority and shows his sympathy towards the sick. Verse 29, and immediately again, he left the synagogue. Mark is I've been studying all the Gospels sort of together, but Mark is very snappy. Like, we do this. It's a punch. So my iPad immediately messed up. And immediately he left the synagogue and entered the house of Simon and Andrew with James and John. Now Simon's mother-in-law lay ill with a fever, and immediately they told him about her. And he came and took her by the hand and lifted her up, and the fever left her, and she began to serve them. Jesus, this isn't a scriptural reading. Jesus did not have a pocket full of Tylenol and Theraflu. He had authority, okay? He had the authority to heal the sick. Verse 32, that evening at sundown, they brought... I like how I had to say that this isn't a scripture reading. You all would have figured out that Tylenol wouldn't have been included in the Word of God. That evening, verse 32, that evening at sundown, they brought to him all who were sick or oppressed by demons. And the whole city was gathered together at the door. And he healed many who were sick with various diseases and cast out many demons. And he would not permit the demons to speak because they knew him. So, point or thought number two is Jesus also has authority over disease and sickness. So he's got authority over demons. He's got authority over disease and sickness. And it might seem like we're kind of moving fast here, and we kind of are for these first two thoughts. Jesus had authority and power to cast out demons and heal the sick. Well, it's difficult for us to wrap our minds around having authority over demons. I mean, we read it and we see it, but the understanding of it is strange to us because we can't do that. We can't cast out demons. We can't heal the sick. But the God that we serve can, and that's good news. Amen? Amen. So these final two points or thoughts, and we're not even close to finish, so don't let that final word get you excited. But these final two points or thoughts today are far more relatable than the casting out of demons or healing the sick. So let's read on. Verse 35. And rising very early in the morning, while it was still dark, he departed and went out to a desolate place, and there he prayed. So thought number three is Jesus prioritizes time alone with God over every other thing in his day. As Jesus is moving around, healing the sick and casting out demons and teaching, he prioritizes his time with the Father. Now I want these next few minutes, as I continue to talk, to be a time of personal reflection in your own life. As you hear me speak, think about yourself and your own life. If this time alone with the Father is Jesus' priority and we are following Jesus, do our priorities align with His? So we are following Him. Shouldn't our priorities be aligned with His? Shouldn't we be spending dedicated daily time alone with God? And the answer to this question is no surprise. The answer is yes, but that doesn't mean that we all do it. So just as you sit here and hear this, reflect on yourself. Reflect on how much time am I really dedicating? How much time? And this shouldn't be a check-the-box thing. This desire should be in you. So you think, Lord, I haven't been spending much time with you. Why is that? Why? What's caused me to... Give me that desire, okay? I want that desire. So, and for me this week, this verse 35 was the most convicting verse that I've read all week, and it's not good to hear from your pastor that probably, but I spend much time over at this church writing sermons or writing lessons for Wednesday nights or reflecting on things, but sometimes I don't. That time for me isn't simply to draw near to God. It's for the purpose. Sometimes for a different purpose. It's still to glorify God, but it's not simply for the drawing near to Him. So I am rebuking myself as I read this verse. I think, Lord, you are drawing me close to you because of many things, but how much am I seeking myself to draw close to you simply because I love you and want to draw close to you? So I've been, that verse 35 really hit me pretty hard this week, and I'm rebuking myself, and I'll rebuke you all as well. If you aren't making time alone with God the highest priority of your life, you're missing the whole point of your walk with Christ. And we must repent of our selfishness and our laziness and take this seriously. We must turn towards our Creator in awe and wonder and amazement. So spend time with Him. Pour out your heart to Him. If you have anxieties, if you have worries, if you have dirty, messy sin in your life, take it to Him. Take it to Him before you take it to anybody else. He is first. Jesus goes to Him first thing in the morning. I'm not telling you that you don't have to get up at 4 a.m., but I think we can all logically understand that if time alone with God is to be a priority, it would be best to do it first thing in the day, because How many things do you have? You're probably sitting in the chair right now thinking about all the stuff you have to do this afternoon. We've got baseball practices. We've got choir practices. We've got this thing, that thing. What about the email? What about work Monday? What about all this? If we simply would spend time alone with God first thing in the morning, how much better would our day go? How much better would our life go? How much more productive would we be as a church if we all participated in this? So you don't have to do exactly as Jesus does here. You can sleep in and still prioritize time alone with God. But the point is, your time alone with God must be a high priority in your life. In fact, it needs to be the highest priority. So obviously, we see that Jesus saw it that way, as it was the first thing that he did in the morning when he woke up. Now, I do believe, like I said, that it would be most effective if you were able to accomplish this first thing in the morning rather than wait. If we wait, what will happen is we won't do it. So here's my charge to you. Get up tomorrow morning at about 3:30. Go to a dark place and spend time alone with God. And by probably 1, you'll be asleep. Many of you probably wake up that early anyways. So all you old men especially. Ha ha ha, you're supposed to laugh. Okay, so let's be a church where we are spending dedicated amounts of time alone with God every day. Oftentimes in church life, we spend much time strategizing how we can best impact people through all these programs and events, corporate Bible studies, outreaches, VBSs, and all these other things, when in reality, one of the most radical things that we can do and productive things we can do as a church body would be to individually commit to spending daily time alone with God. This would transform our worship. This would transform our obedience to God. So if all of us were simply prioritizing this time alone with God, it would be life-changing for us individually and as a church. Does anybody disagree with that? Spend time alone with God. That can be one short sentence that you can take home today. I need to spend time alone with God. It's during this time that God will shape you and direct you and reveal things to you through His Word and through your prayers. So if you aren't currently spending time alone with God, start now. And start with 5 minutes. If you're not doing it yet, 5 minutes will feel like a lot. So start with 5 minutes. He'll give you endurance to lengthen that amount of time. So again, verse 35, God's Word says, "And rising very early in the morning, while it was still dark, he departed and went out to a desolate place, and there he prayed." And going on to verse 36, "And Simon and those who were with him searched for him, and they found him and said to him, 'Everyone is looking for you.' And he said to them, 'Let us go on to the next towns, that I may preach there also, for that is why I came out.' And he went throughout all Galilee, preaching in their synagogues and casting out demons." So, thought or point number 4 is this: Jesus prioritizes proclamation of the gospel among more people in more places over the meeting the physical needs around him. Okay, so a simpler way of saying that is Jesus is more concerned about sharing his message of hope than he is about the healing and the miracles. He knows people are going to be excited when people are you know, the lame can walk or the blind can see. He knows that that's going to trigger everybody in a way. So he says, "Let's go into the next towns that I may preach there also, for that is why I came out." So he knows that people are going to be amazed by his healing hand. And this is why he often tells people to keep quiet after the healing takes place, because he doesn't want the miraculous healing to be a distraction of priority. He came to preach this message of hope. And this message of hope is, remember, chapter 10, verse 45 says, "For even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many." That's a good message. That's a message of hope. And he gave us the Great Commission. And normally when I reference the Great Commission, I like the book of Matthew's outline. I like the way Matthew delivers it. But Mark says this: "He said to them, 'Go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, but whoever does not believe will be condemned.'" So, a couple of things. Jesus was interested in spending time alone with God and with the Father, and he modeled that for us. He also modeled that he was interested in traveling from place to place, sharing the good news, and he tells us in his word to do that as well. So I'm going to ask you a question. When is the last time you shared this good news with someone? If you haven't been sharing the good news of the gospel, why not? It is this good news that saves. And to connect it with the spending time alone with the Father, spending time alone with God and sharing the good news are intertwined. So if you aren't spending adequate time alone with God in His Word and in prayer, most likely you don't have a very deep relationship with Him. And if you don't have a very deep relationship with Him, most likely you haven't felt His warming embrace and love and joy, and if you're not spending time with God, it's quite hard to feel His presence in your life. So spend time alone with Him. As you do this, you will feel His presence in a way that will cause you to desire to go out and share that with other people. I hope that makes obvious sense. Spend time alone with God in deep reading of the Word and in prayer, and let that time transform your life, because it will. God will take away your worldly desires and give you a desire for His great commission. We have just a few verses left to get through chapter 1. We're going to get through chapter 1 today. So, and hopefully this comes all together. Verse 40 says, "And a leper came to Him, imploring Him, and kneeling, said to Him, 'If You will, You can make me clean.' Moved with pity, He stretched out His hand and touched Him and said to Him, 'I will, be clean.' And immediately the leprosy left Him, and He was made clean. And Jesus sternly charged Him and sent Him away at once," excuse me, "and said to Him, 'See that you say nothing to anyone, but go, show yourself to the priest and offer for your cleansing what Moses commanded, for a proof to them.' But He went out and began to talk freely about it and to spread the news, so that Jesus could no longer openly enter a town, but was out in desolate places, and people were coming to Him from every quarter." So, if you don't know what leprosy is, you can Google it and see very dramatic images of what it is. It still exists in certain places today, but I warn you as you look at those photos. But when a person is a leper, they become an outcast and no one wants to be around them. And Leviticus chapter 13 references laws about leprosy. It says, "The leprous person who has the disease shall wear torn clothes and let the hair of his head hang loose, and he shall cover his upper lip and cry out, 'Unclean, unclean.' He shall remain unclean as long as he has the disease. He is unclean. He shall live alone. His dwelling shall be outside the camp." But we serve a mighty and loving God, don't we, that He would be moved with pity towards this man. And Jesus reaches out His hand and touches this leper and says to him, "I will make you clean. Be clean." Remember the word "immediately," because we hear it all the time. Immediately, leprosy left him and he was made clean. So Jesus heals this man and tells him not to go into the town and talk about it. But the man does not obey Jesus, and he goes into the town and tells everyone about the miracle. So Jesus surely would have known that this guy was going to be a bit disobedient in this, but he still chose to heal this man anyways. He loved him regardless. He showed him pity, he loved him, and he healed him regardless. Now, hopefully, by looking at me, you realize that I don't have leprosy. And by the looks of you all, you don't either. And I am grateful for that. But we do have a sickness, a disease. We have sin in our lives. And this sin can poison our lives. It can poison the lives of the people around us. It can make us physically ill. It can make us mentally ill. And it makes us spiritually ill. It makes us spiritually dead. Has anybody felt that, any of those things in their own life? I hope so. I hope you're aware of your own sinfulness. So maybe your sin is lust or other sexual sin in your life, or maybe it's gossip, or maybe it's slander, or maybe it's drunkenness, or maybe it's simply laziness. But like the leper, Jesus offers us His healing touch, and He invites us to be clean. And you might say, "Not me, preacher." That's what Chuck would say anyways. "Not me, preacher. I'm too far gone." I'm not saying Chuck would say he's too far gone. I'm saying he would call me preacher. I got to clear myself up every now and then. You might say, "Not me, preacher. I'm too far gone." No, you are not. Okay? Jesus has given us a way out. He's given you a way out. He's given you a way to be clean. Jesus gives us life through our repentance and belief. Remember Mark chapter 10, verse 45, He came to serve and to give His life as a ransom for many, and this includes you. Okay? So while on this earth, you will always sin, but ask God to take these sins away from you so that they don't rule your life, so that they don't consume your mind, so that they don't affect other people. Ask Him, ask God in this time that you're spending with Him at 3:30 tomorrow morning or whenever you choose to do it in the morning, hopefully. I'm not forcing you to do it in the morning, but it would be best, it would be wise for you to do it first thing in the morning. Ask Him to make Him more important to you than you are to yourself. And I promise you, you will see sin flee from your life. So believe in Him. Jesus is who He says He is. The chapter 1 points are, Jesus is who He says He is. And because He is who He says He is, He has authority to heal the sick and to cast out demons and to walk on water and to turn water to wine and to turn a couple fish to a couple pieces of bread. Or turn a couple, you get what I'm saying. He turned a little bit of food into a whole lot of food. And we haven't covered any of this, but you all have heard much of this. And He feeds the 5,000. And He showed, what we have seen is He shows this leper great sympathy by healing him. And He's shown you even greater sympathy by willingly being nailed to a cross to make you clean. So believe it. You have no other choice. You do have another choice. You don't have to. It won't end well for you if you don't believe it. So believe it. Everything else is sinking sand. Sinking sand. Where I'm from, we do not say ings unless it's a wedding. And me and Paula have had plenty of conversations about the strangeness of that. But everything else is sinking sand. This world is not going to make you clean. Your family isn't going to do it. No amount of exercise or eating healthy is going to fix all of your problems. Medicine won't heal everything. Only Jesus, okay? He's offering you life. Believe in His authority. Spend time with Him daily in His Word and in prayer. When you do that, your love for Him will increase, and then you will desire to share the gospel with people. If you came to genuine faith in Jesus, it's because you heard the gospel from someone else's mouth, whether it had been in church or from your grandma or whoever. Somebody shared the gospel with you. It was clear and it transformed your life in a radical way. That is, should be everybody's story of salvation to some point. Okay? My point is, you heard the gospel out of somebody else's mouth, and from the looks of this room, everybody in here has a mouth. Share the gospel, okay? Jesus modeled these things for us in Mark chapter 1. Use His example in all that you do. And this reminded me of the WWJD bracelets. What would Jesus do? Run the what would Jesus do filter through your life, because it's relevant in all situations that you encounter. Lord, what do You want me to do in this situation? How can I be like You in this situation? Remember, He came to serve, and He came to give His life as a ransom for many. So serve people and give your life as a ransom for many. Now, this does not mean death, but we can sacrifice our time. We can sacrifice our other resources for the glory of God in hope that people will come to know Him. So, He's telling us right here in this chapter, He wants us to spend time alone with Him. He wants us to share the gospel with others. And He wants us to follow Him because He is who He says He is. And because He is who He says He is, He has authority over demons and sickness and humanity and all of creation. And here's the good part. Here's the fun part. He's sympathetic towards us, similar to the leper, just like the leper. He's sympathetic towards us and He loves us. And He loves us enough that He came and died for us. And that's what He did. He died for you so that you would live for Him. So let's do that today. Let's live for Christ in all that we do. Even when we are in our own little feelings, in our own little world, but I don't want to do that today. Well, do it anyways. And as you spend this time, this dedicated time alone with God, as you do that, we talked about wisdom this morning in Sunday school. As you do that, your wisdom will increase and your love for him will increase, and you will feel his gentle embrace, and suddenly you'll think, this, I'm not, many of us are doing this. Most of us are hopefully doing this. But as we do this, the gospel becomes more important than everything else. Your job, even your family, it becomes more important than everything. And when it's more important than everything, you should desire to share it with others. Okay? So let's be people that are spending time alone with God. Let's be a church that are dedicating time. If we all did that, think about, I don't care about the number of people here. Here's the number of people that I want here. You all, you're here. I'm looking at you right now. Let's take this seriously. Those who are here, let's take it seriously. Let's spend time alone with God. No amount of programs or all this stuff that we try to do can replace simply opening up the Word, praying, and spending time alone with God. Is that agreeable? So let's do that. Let's pray this morning. Heavenly Father, I'm grateful for the book of Mark, that it was recorded and that we are able to read it and study it and learn from it, because you have a great word for us in the book. And I just pray that this week we start or continue to spend time alone with you in the morning or whenever we have time, whenever we think that it would best suit us and you, that we would spend time alone with you and we would read and we would pray and we would draw near to you out of the overflow of our love for you and your love for us. We want to be close to you, and the way to do that is to spend time alone with you. And as we do that, I pray that we share the gospel. And when we go and share the gospel, we will see people come to faith. Not everybody will, but many will. So if we simply spend time alone with you and have a love for your message of hope, that we will share it and we will see fruit. And I pray that we're able to do that in a diligent way, starting this week, maybe just starting with 5 minutes tomorrow morning, that we would just sit down with some coffee in a place that's quiet, and we draw near to you. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. And I invite anybody that doesn't have a relationship with God and these things sound important to you suddenly, come forward and say, I am not following Jesus, but what you have said or what I'm hearing or what I heard 10 years ago didn't make sense then, but it makes sense now, and I want to follow Jesus. I welcome you to come forward, and we can celebrate that together. Amen? Yeah.